Well, you know what I think. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to deny that.
I do want everyone to feel comfortable. And that's why I'd like to talk to you about Jesus.
Please do not go religious.
Somebody's going to hell over there.
He better not.
Even the devil will speak the truth for his own purposes.
This is war.
Accept it.
Back to Jerusalem podcast.
Yeah, I'm back and I'm armed with righteousness.
With your host, Eugene Bach.
He just seems like he's got it all figured out.
He's a righteous dude.
Yep.
Hello and welcome to another Back to Jerusalem podcast. I'm Eugene Bach, your host for this time, and I'm coming to you live on delay from somewhere within the borders of Vietnam this time, where we've been given an amazing tour of the archives, the Christian archives here in Vietnam, of the missionaries who came and gave their lives throughout the generations. And I'm here with a good friend, Robert Welsh. Robert, I'm so glad that you were able to be here, brother.
It's
I had no clue that you were quite the mission historian.
I love missions. I love the stories.
It's evident. It's evident because we came here and names just started popping up and you knew them. Names that I had never heard of before. You just start cranking out information and data like a computer on missionaries that, you know, have served here in Vietnam and other places around the world as well.
This was like a treasure hunt.
It was a treasure hunt. So for those of you that are not familiar or haven't been listening to any of our previous Back to Jerusalem podcast, you know, for the last couple of years, we've been working on something that we call Chasing Legacy. It's a series that we are putting together because we go to so many places around the world where we learn about these giants of the faith that went into different nations and kind of planted the gospel. I wrote about one of those giants last year in a book called Bury Me in China about Robert Morrison, the very first missionary to China in the 1800s. And we thought, you know, we are always coming across these different individuals throughout our journeys. We sometimes forget about them. Why don't we kind of take a camera along and document some of those individuals that stand out in history, make a mark, and have created a foundation for what we're seeing today? And I'm traveling with Robert because Robert is into antiques. And you've been building things with your hands out of wood for a while.
Yes.
And so we made the suggestion, why don't you come with us and find real antiques, like stuff like not just from 50 years ago or 100 years ago, but maybe stuff 200, 300 years old.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're going to check that out.
We're going to be traveling in Vietnam for the next couple of days, looking at different like antique shops and stuff like that, looking at old wood. Because what do you do? I know that you run an antique shop, but it's more than that, right?
Right. So we take reclaimed wood, wood that's 150 to 200 years old. And we build furniture, we build tables, we do commission pieces. People come in and want something built. But along with that, you know, we have a vision for reclaiming lost lives and for taking people that are in bondage and bringing them into freedom. And so it's just like God, you know, when I take a piece of wood that somebody's going to throw away into the dump and I polish it up and make a table, it's just like God takes us out of the dust heap and the mud and he washes us off and he shows us our true value, shows us our identity in Christ. And so we're doing that with people. We have people that live there, a guy, Floyd, a homeless guy that lives there with me. And so we're reaching out to the homeless in our area and to people.
Yeah, I've been to your business.
Hey, you came to the shop, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I did. I came to your place of business and it was a beautiful shop. We kind of walk in, I'm seeing like barn doors. I'm seeing like tables that are made out of, I think you said, a gym floor at one
that's
point.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, like from like the basketball.
From a local basketball floor, yes.
Yep, you got the flooring from a local basketball court at a school,
right.
I guess.
In 1950s, this floor was put in. It was pecan wood.
And it was being destroyed, or?
That's right. Yep. They were taking it out, putting in a new floor.
Okay, so the school is still there. The
That's
floor
right.
was being replaced.
That's right.
Okay, and then you made something out of that wood.
We sure did. We made some tables and different things.
And when I got there, I felt like this feels like a business, but it also feels like a church. Like this goes right into our business as mission meetings that we're having here in Vietnam now, which you're going to be one of the speakers at that business as mission meeting,
right?
Where Christians use their everyday, you know, kind of platform for providing for their family or what they do in their lives to also preach the gospel and share the good news. So I walk into your place of business and I'm seeing like a place that you use for Bible studies. Local, like it's almost like a local chapel.
Exactly.
You got like a homeless guy kind of coming in.
That's right.
Helping and working together with you. It really is a mission.
It is a mission. So we We have prayer meetings there in the evenings, and we have a place in the back where we are really seeking revival in the area, because as we read all these testimonies, revival comes through prayer. And so we meet for prayer, and then we have a fellowship that meets on Sunday. So when I moved in that building, I rent the building, the Lord told me this will be a place of ministry, not just a place of business. But the Lord told me these two are going to be combined, where we're going to take the people that work with me in business and encourage them to grow closer to Christ and give people jobs that maybe don't have a job.
Forgive me if my memory is off a little bit, but is that building, did it used to be a church?
It did, among many other things.
It was, really?
Yes, it was a church.
So what
it
was a restaurant. With a restaurant.
It was an event center. It had been many things.
It kind of reminded me of like an old Spanish mission.
Yes,
like
when I that's got what there. It looks like.
Yeah. And so it's like the perfect setup, not just for your store, your face of your business, but also to know that a place that was built for fellowship, communion, and preaching the gospel is still used for that today.
Exactly.
Yeah. So today, that brings us here.
Yes.
Because you're often going through, you know, garbage heaps.
Exactly. I do actually go into dumpsters.
Do you go into dumpsters?
Yeah, I look. Because there are things in there that people throw away that are valuable.
Okay, you got to tell me, like going by, have you ever found any great treasures in a dumpster?
I have. I mean, I'd have to think. But we go into all kind of places where people are throwing things away. I pull it out because I see value in things, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, one time there was this building that was going to be bulldozed, and this guy said, come in real quick if you want anything out of there. And I took an old, it was a big cabinet. I brought it into my shop, polished it up, and sold it for $1,500.
Really?
Just because it had some interesting carvings, and when I saw it, I knew it had value. And they were going to bulldoze that building. But
I think you had an old tree stump.
Yes.
And it was just like somebody would have burned that in their yard and you made something out of it. Tell me about that tree stump.
So tree stumps are, we have a lot of cypress trees in Texas.
Okay.
Next to the Guadalupe River. And we take these stumps and when we sand them down, they're beautiful wood cypress stumps. And we sell them. People want nature inside their house. This one lady bought one of my tree stumps for $1,000 and put it in her house.
$1,000 from a tree stump.
And we just polished it up. We got it off in the somewhere and we polished it up, put it in, and sold it to a lady because she wanted that in her house. Beautiful stump.
So when you see these things, I mean, what is it in your mind that see? Because obviously you see something that others don't. You see potential where other people just see garbage.
That's right.
Like, what is that? I mean, is it just the way you were raised? Where does that come from?
I think it's partly just some of the giftings God has given me of resourcefulness in seeing things, and partly it was the way I was raised. My granddad, talking about legacy, my granddad had this barn full of a bunch of old junk, and he would let me go in there.
I love those grandfathers.
Take things apart, and
yeah,
he let me collect things, and so he taught me, you know, the
that was my dream
stuff.
As a kid. I love that, like going into like grandpa's old shed.
Exactly, that was what I enjoyed too.
Yep. Sorry, yeah, so just I can understand what you're saying. Finding old bolts, nuts,
yes,
hinges. Making things, it's almost like a poor man's set of Legos.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I did. Exactly.
So you're in your grandfather's barn.
Yeah, I found all kind of things. In fact, one time, since he was in the air conditioning business, I didn't know that mercury, you know, was dangerous. So I collected all the mercury out of the little thermostats. And one time in sixth grade, I took my mercury bottle to school and handed it out to all my classmates at a Christian school. That was quite a day. You know, I got in a lot of trouble. My dad was one of the teachers there at the school.
How do you mean you handed it out? Like you handed it out in bottles?
In balls. You know, it'll go into little balls.
Yeah.
So you can.
So people just put it in their hands.
Yeah, and they put it in their hands and everybody was looking at it. So anyway. But,
how much mercury did you have access to?
Well, my granddad had an air conditioning business. So he had all these old thermostats. So I would break the little thermostat and put it in there. But I want to share a story of how this, like, so in my life, Isabel Kuhn has been a real motivation to me. She's a missionary who went to China. And so this is so interesting how we come to this place in Vietnam and how I've been influenced by Isabel Kuhn by reading her writings. Her book is called By Searching Isabel Kuhn. It's a story of her conversion and going to China. And she talks about going to this retreat center when she was a college student and hearing this man speak at the retreat center called The Pines. I think it was in Washington State, and the man was Robert Jaffery. And so this man, Robert Jaffery, spoke into her life, and she decided to come to Christ and go as a missionary. And now she spoke into my life. So this man that we've been finding in all these books, it reached me, you know, a guy that grew up in Alabama. It's really cool to me how God uses people. They don't know that their life is going to extend past the grave.
Yeah.
And it's going to extend and influence people. So I thought that's really cool that came here. There's all this stuff about Robert Jaffrey with the Christian Missionary Alliance.
Oh, I mean, one of the books that we found is called Vietnam Today. It's not even a book. It's a magazine. And it's a magazine edition that was dedicated to six missionaries that were killed in an explosion.
Right.
And it really does give a beautiful legacy for the lives that they led here in Vietnam.
Exactly.
And in many ways, you're the perfect person to follow along in Vietnam, because just as you find old furniture or
yes.
things that you can use to kind of be used again in people's homes.
Reused. As a thing of beauty.
A thing of irreplaceable beauty. Because you can go to IKEA and buy something that was made 1,000 times over all day long.
That's right.
And it will break down in 5 minutes, and everybody else in the area has the same thing.
And it's not made out of real wood.
It's not real. It doesn't have that essence of being solid and will last forever.
That's
and
right.
It doesn't tell a story. So in many ways, we are dumpster diving together.
That's right.
We are here in Vietnam looking for stories that are forgotten. Like, just like you are looking for old wood that's been forgotten, that's
yes.
been thrown to the side, maybe hidden behind a shed. We are finding these stories in these books. You know, a lot of these books, this is not one that is in the worst condition that we've seen, but I'm holding a book in my hand right now that is several decades old.
Yes.
This one here, let me see, is probably, my guessing is probably from the 1950s or something. Let me see if I can find the print date on this. Most of these are like, yeah, so this one actually is from 1972.
Okay.
So 1972, it's not that old. I'm almost as old as
most
this book.
Most of these are older than that.
Yes.
Most of these are in the...
But the book that I'm holding in my hand is falling apart. It's made out of a very cheap quality. I can remember the very first Bibles that we made for North Korea
yes.
was made in this same kind of cover. They weren't made to last for very long, but this one has. This one's lasted for about 50 years.
Made and from wood. I mean, paper comes from wood.
Comes from wood.
So I'm all into these books.
You're all into the books. And we are going through finding these old books. You know, these books that we found are in a cabinet.
That's right.
Some of them are on display, but they're in a library here in Ho Chi Minh.
Yes.
And what we would like to do is encourage people to go to their local church, their local library, their local information center for Christians, and see, can you find those old archives that have the oldest teachings, the oldest books? The thing is that the way I found this location, I don't know if they're online or anything, but I looked up many things and I didn't find anything. But I have a good friend who's a pastor here in Vietnam, and his church used to be here in this building. So he used to run his church here in this building, and he knows everybody for everything. I'm telling you, brother, there's nobody this guy does not know. Like, so a couple days ago, I had a vision to start a chocolate company.
Right.
I called him up and I said, hey, do you happen, and that was a long shot, like Vietnam is not known for chocolate, right? So I called him up, I was like, do you happen to know anybody that has any, like, they produce cacao beans or they produce chocolate? Do you know anybody like that? He's like, yeah, they're sitting in front of me right now. I was like, what? I get on the phone. We end up like going through and looking at chocolate for a business in China. So I call him up and I said, hey, do you know anybody that has like a Christian archives that we can go look at? And the same day he brought us here. So, I mean, I'm convinced that if we had an air conditioning part that was needed for a rocket ship to NASA or for NASA, he would find that intergalactic air conditioner fan cable nut to be able to fit in that, whatever it was. He would know somebody that knows somebody. So he brought me here, and this was a real treasure to find this location. And the staff here have been very kind and nice. They welcomed me in. We were able to see all of the different treasures that they have preserved for centuries. From the beginning of Protestant Christianity here in Vietnam, which started in 1911. They've got these things that, you know, if someone outside on the street in Vietnam saw this book, sitting by a chair, they would probably think this is garbage.
That's right.
And throw it away. But just like you, you see the beauty in that.
A treasure. Like, this is the journal of David Brainerd, the missionary to the Indians.
Which, by the way, to my shame, I never heard the name in my life.
I can't believe you've never heard of David Brainerd.
I can hear our podcast listeners gasping right now.
This guy was...
Knowing that I didn't know such... But I'm telling you, you will be surprised at my level of ignorance. Because I didn't grow up in a Christian family. Didn't grow up in a Christian home. So when I first came to Christ at the age of 14, my job was to learn everything I could about the Bible.
Right. So start with that.
Yeah, I dedicated myself to the Bible because I knew nothing.
Right.
And then when I moved to China, I came from a very bad school in the backwoods of, you know, Indiana. And we did a lot of things good. One of the things that we didn't do well is world history. So I moved to China, get ready to gasp even more probably than not knowing who David Brainerd is.
Yeah.
I didn't know who Mao Zedong was.
Oh, man.
Yeah, never heard the name. So I had to spend, like, I had to go intense on studying, you know, Mao Zedong and,
right.
and Xi Jinping and Hu Jintao
these
and like
Chinese leaders.
Dong Xiaoping, like all of these names. I had to really dig in and study them because I didn't have a background. I didn't have a reference point. So you have been such an amazing resource on looking at some of these names and being like, this is a powerful book. I wouldn't have noticed.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't have known.
And we found G. Campbell Morgan in here.
You did.
One of the preachers from,
yep, from England.
Great Britain.
He was
a powerful preacher, yeah.
So as we're going through and we're finding some of these books, we're finding some of these stories, we're finding some of these magazines, do you see any similarities at all between what it is that you do with wood and antiques in what we're doing now with Chasing Legacy?
I do, because every antique tells a story. There's a history. And when people buy something out of my shop that's old, they always want to know the story behind that. And that story involved people's lives. It involved people who gave themselves for Christ. Some of them were Christians who owned that table, that antique. So I see a great connection between the stories of the people's lives here in these books and the work that I'm doing of connecting things that people are going to put in their home and fellowship around a table. And I love the picture of how all this comes together.
Yeah, I do too. One of the things that I find absolutely phenomenal is that the way that you look at wood and antiques and kind of translate that, you're doing a lot here. As you are going through and finding these old names, I'm loving listening to your stories about, when I heard this story, this happened to me.
Yes.
When I first learned about him, this is what his story did for me.
That's
so
right.
That is us standing on the legacy of those that have gone before. And
exactly.
So it's been such a privilege to have you together with us on Chasing Legacy, doing the research, finding the names, the people, the places, their stories, their challenges, their hardships, and sometimes even their deaths.
That's right.
There was a really cool quote in here. I don't know if we'll be able to find it, but it talks about building a grave first instead of the churches and
keep going.
Is it, we're looking at a magazine right now where it talks about the 6 people who died in an explosion. They were 6 missionaries who were serving in Vietnam, and there was an explosion
here,
and there was a quote
right here
that I absolutely love. Let me read it to you and I'll end the podcast there. It says this. This is a beginning of the reading. Let me go back just actually to the beginning of this article and finish reading it for our listeners, because this is so powerful. It says, "What were the missionaries doing in Vietnam in face of such danger?" reporters ask. This is after the death of 6 missionaries. And there's a picture in this magazine. We're going to try to put an article about this up on our website. But there are missionaries standing at the grave of these missionaries. And it says this, it continues, "Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wants to come with me, he must forget himself, carry his cross, and follow me. For the man who wants to save his own life will lose it, but the man who loses his life for my sake will find it.'" Matthew 16:24. "From the time that Dr. Simpson sent the first band of 5 zealous young missionaries to unfriendly Congo in 1884, Alliance missionaries have known that their final commitment is not to a mission board, but to Christ, who said that a grain of wheat must fall to the earth and die before the resurrection life of reproduction can come forth and a harvest be realized. The philosophy voiced many years ago in Africa was not deemed too harsh for men and women with only one objective in life, the evangelization of the world. This is the quote. Our God bids us first to build a cemetery before we build a church or a dwelling house. Show us by this lesson that the resurrection of Africa or China or Vietnam must be affected by our own destruction. Kampf. I have to be very careful when I read that because I think of Mein Kampf. But which means my struggle. And so maybe that name means struggle, the last name in German for the person who wrote that. But that is a beautiful reminder that those that have gone before us are the individuals who created the platform that today you and I as believers stand on. We stand on their shoulders. And by learning from their story, listening to their voices that echo from history, our lives can do more, go further, and reach more people than has been ever possible and would not be possible if we did not learn from those lessons. I want to thank you so much for joining us for another Back to Jerusalem podcast. Again, I'm Eugene Bach, your host for this time, coming to you live on delay from somewhere within the borders of Vietnam. God bless you.